Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Thus writes Jeremiah in chapter 17 and verse 7. I wish to talk to you today, in these few moments with the book, on the subject of hope. And to begin with, let me ask the listener, do you have a hope for the future? If you do, what is it? Is it a sure hope? A steadfast hope? In a word, is it a hope in the Lord? If so, blessed indeed is that man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Now it is quite probable, however, that my listener has never put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps you feel that you in yourself are sufficient for your future. You may believe that you have planned and invested wisely in your financial matters for you and your family. You have planned for your family's education. You feel you have sufficient security for old age and so forth. However, in all earnestness, let me ask, what is your hope for eternity? You may have an insurance policy that guarantees that you'll be taken care of in retirement and provides for your family in case of death. But think, what have you done to ensure your immortal soul that never dies? What is your hope? What is your hope, I ask, for your eternal welfare? Remember, it is appointed unto men once to die. After death, what shall it be for you? There is an eternity ahead of each of us. But where will you be in that eternity is the question. Now, to simply affirm your unbelief in the fact of a future or in the fact that you do have an immortal soul does not change the truth about it one bit. And if you reject the Word of God, which speaks very clearly on us to the subject, and you harden your conscience as to what you really know to be true, it does not change or alter the truth one iota. Or perhaps you might say that you are looking into the future, but your hope is in doing the best that you can. Perhaps you are saying you're trying to keep the commandments as a basis of your hope for heaven. Maybe you think that because you're baptized, maybe because you are a member of a church, you feel that you are secure. Now, if this is so, and anything else that you might make boast in, or claim to be, or have done, let me tell you that you have no basis whatever for a true hope. Yours is a false hope. You are on sinking sand. And in the words of Job, your hope shall perish. Mark it well. We would warn from the Word of God. But oh, we would hasten to tell you of a hope that you may have, a hope that you need. Now, when I speak about a hope, it is not just simply something that you wish for, and there is a doubt as to whether you shall have it or not. Now, that's not what I have in mind in talking about hope. The hope of the Bible is a true, certain expectation. This is what we present. This is what God wants us to have. It is that which, in His words, is both sure and steadfast. It's that which you need. And this hope that God has for you is bound up in the person of His Son, so to speak. Paul, in writing to Timothy, says, "The Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope." Do you have this hope in Him? Do you have Him as your hope? Ah, the fact of the hope as presented in Him is confirmed to us in the Word of God, the Bible. We would have no hope apart from this. And the Spirit of God, who has inspired the divine writings through Paul, in Hebrews 6:11, speaks of the full assurance of hope. Think of it, and this is what God wants you to have, the full assurance of hope. And concerning this, he continues to assert in that same chapter 6 in Hebrews that it is impossible for God to lie. Think of that, how true it is. And what God has stated that he will do, he will perform. What he has promised, he will fulfill. What a contrast this is to the mere words and promises of men. But God has given us and does give us full assurance of hope. And this imparts a strong consolation, a comfort to the soul of those that receive it. Now, this hope, as we have already said, is bound up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Jesus, we read, who has already gone within the veil. Speaking figuratively, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone into heaven already. He is the forerunner. He is the one who has instigated the hope, as well as being the hope. He is the way to the glory, as well as already there. He is the one who is the hope of those who trust in him. Paul speaks of it as a hope which we have. Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has this hope in him. And mind you, it says, it is a hope both sure and steadfast. It is certain and it can never fail. It is likened to an anchor for the soul. How wonderful that those who have trusted in Jesus are those who have already an anchor cast, so to speak, in the very presence of God. That anchor, that hope, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the one who has already entered there, even Jesus. Jesus, that name, Jehovah the Savior, God himself who was in the glory in eternity ages past, came into the world 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin, came to here be amongst men, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and to become the hope of all mankind. He has accomplished that work. He has gone to the glory. He is already there, and he is the anchor which you may have. Now, who may have this hope? Read in verse 18, it's impossible for God to lie, that we who have a strong consolation are those who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The hope, the certain expectation of being in the glory, is set before us for our laying hold upon it. We're going to see what that means in just a minute. But those who lay hold upon it are those who have fled for refuge. Have you ever fled for refuge? Why need we flee for refuge? Beloved listener, every single one of us is a sinner. We have been born in sin. We've been born on the broad way that leads away from God. We have consistently gone our own way. We do not wish God in our thoughts. And consequently, the way of peace and hope we have not known. This is what sin leads us to. Sin also condemns us. We are under the just judgment and condemnation of God because of what we are by nature and practice. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Have you ever realized this? Have you ever been awakened to the fact that you are a sinner already condemned? Sin is on your trail, along with death and judgment. It will soon overtake you. God has, however, a refuge for you. Those who flee for refuge are those who come to themselves, like the prodigal in the 15th of Luke, who came to himself and said, I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned. Fleeing implies repentance. Repentance is what God calls us to. He commands us, He commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent means to accept what God says about us, to own that we have sinned against Him, that we are undone, that we are helpless, we are hopeless. In fact, without Him, we are without hope. That's the condition of each one of us away from God. There are no exceptions to this. There is no difference. There is no hope outside of Christ. We have sinned. We're going our own way away from God. Those who will awake to this reality, oh, they are those who will flee to the refuge that is set before us. That refuge is Christ Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is spoken of as the hope that is set before us. In the 10th chapter of the same book of Hebrews, we read these words as to how we may enter and have this hope. Having, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness or liberty to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You and I who have sinned are away from God. We are shut out from His presence because of sin, and God cannot tolerate sin. But the Lord Jesus has been here. On the cross, when He was crucified, you recall that when He died, laying down His life, that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. You remember that? That veil, figuratively speaking, is that which separates God from the people. But that veil, which stood in the holy place, dividing the people of Israel from God, who was in the holiest, that veil was rent, signifying, typifying, picturing for us the fact that God has come in love and grace and rent that veil so that you and I can come in. The veil is rent. Our souls draw near. The law would ever keep us away. Now, grace bids us draw nigh. And we who are sinners can come nigh to a holy God and lay hold upon a hope because the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. His flesh was rent for us. We have boldness or liberty to enter into the holiest, into the very presence of God. And what the temple was to Israel, it's a picture of what heaven is for us, the very presence of a holy God. And this has been made open to all of us by the blood of Jesus. You see, sin can only be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the blood of the bulls and goats could never take away sin. They only pointed on to the coming of the Lamb of God, whose blood was to be shed to make atonement, to satisfy God, and also to procure an entrance for the sinner into the presence of God. Now this has been accomplished. The blood of Jesus has been shed, and God has accepted that as a payment for sin. And the one who draws nigh, pleading the blood of Jesus, has access through a new, death-made and living way, which He hath consecrated for us, which He hath opened for us. He is the forerunner. He is already there. Oh, the Lord Jesus has died for your sins. He was buried. He has been raised from the dead the third day according to the Scriptures. And He has gone into the glory, the captain of salvation. And there He lives and makes known through the gospel that those that will flee to Him will have a sure, certain hope for the future. How can we come near to Him? We read in verse 22 of Hebrews 10, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I draw attention to this. Let us draw near with a true heart. All that's required that you have this hope in him that you may have it, is a true heart of repentance towards God, owning to him unreservedly that you have sinned against him and not worthy to be called his child. This is accepting what he has already pronounced against you. And then, a true heart also implies the full assurance of faith in accepting what he says about what Jesus has done for you. He is the forerunner. He, by his death on Calvary, has opened the way into his very presence for you, and all he asks is that you believe on him, trust him as the one that died for you and rose again. Thus, and thus alone, are the conditions upon which you may have this hope, a hope which is Christ in you now, the hope of glory, a hope that is laid up for you in heaven, and a hope, a blessed hope, that we read of, that we who believe on Jesus expect momentarily, the coming of our hope from heaven. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is a sure, certain hope. Do you have this hope? God grant that today you will be that blessed man, that happy man, that trusts in the Lord. You put your trust in him. Repent of your sins. Trust him as the one that died for you. The Lord will become your hope, a sure hope. Peace will be yours now and forever. May God bless his word to every listener.